Eight podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, we finally got to meet Andy Brayshaw, our new man from the Dockers.
And we did a segment about when did your this become that?
Yeah, that was different, wasn't it? And Ian Keddie, of course, the legend himself from Birds of Tokyo, dropped in for a chat.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. The Big Breakfast catch-up is for Dale Alcock.
Shut up! The boys on the radio!
He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL, touted as future Freo leadership. And our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
Andy, good to see you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Not much to live up to there, buddy. Future leader, rising star.
Two features on the show, and both the introductions have been quite amazing.
Pretty spectacular, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they're not too bad.
Well, welcome. I mean, it's lovely to meet you face-to-face. We got to speak on the phone last time. And look, you were a force on the field, but you're a young-looking man in the flesh. Are you still getting ID'd everywhere you go?
Yeah, I do a fair bit. Walking around with some older boys, and we go into, you know, a club or a bar or something, and I always get ID'd, so the older boys think it's pretty funny, but yeah, no, I try and shave and try and look a bit young, so yeah, some people mistake me for, you know, 17, 16. So.
How old are you, buddy?
Just turned 19.
Just turned 19, okay. And of course, it feels so right that you're here, because your former housemate, Lachie Neal, was our man for so many years, and he's doing very well at Brisbane now.
Yeah, he's done really well in the first two JLT games, and I remember last year, yeah, being in the car with him, and he would call up here and have some interviews. So, yeah, it's pretty cool that I'm here now.
It's perfect.
Mate,
yeah.
Don't talk about Lachie.
Sorry.
Mate, it is good to see you here. Now, I know you live with Hugh Dixon and Adam Chira, a couple of young guys in the squad with you. But with yourself and all of the talk when Adam and yourself got drafted to the Fremantle Dockers, is there a healthy respect but also a bit of competition between you two?
Yeah, definitely. In under-18s, Adam and I played against each other for school and TAC Cup and then played together for Victoria.
Yeah.
And then when we got drafted, yeah, it was pretty cool. We've always been, you know, trying to keep up with each other in skills and running and all aspects of the game. And I think it's, yeah, been healthy competition and we've both gotten better from it.
Okay, so round one kicking off this weekend. What's on your mind for game one that maybe isn't there for other games of the season? Is there a specific kind of nerves or something around game one?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of nerves going into round one. You really want to play well and you'd love to get a win for the team. And there's a lot of media surrounding the Freo Dockers at the moment. So yeah, we'd really love to get a win and I'd love to just cement my spot in the team and have a really good game. So for me, that's something like tackles, chasing, stuff like that, just to cement my spot in the midfield.
I can imagine, you know, with the in the pre-season, the media are more interested in the off-field stuff, and we won't go into that, but it must be quite a relief to know that come Sunday, 3:20, it's football and it's about the actual game.
Yeah, definitely. Since getting injured last year and having a bit of an extended off-season, I've been waiting for this day for a while.
Yeah.
And there's been little milestones in the lead-up to this, JLT, my first scratch match, but now it's, you know, round one. So just can't wait to get out on Sunday and have a good game.
Absolutely, mate. Can't wait. Now, I will ask a question about the off-field stuff because I'm, in all due respect, I've got clinical curiosity. Jesse back on the track was good to see.
Yeah, so good to see.
Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, he's back and he's training and he's got a smile on his face. So, yeah, the club and the players are just trying to get around him and make him feel at home. So, yeah, it was really good to see him back on the park.
And are you okay? Like, obviously, we know about what happened last year, but you, within your body and your mind, are you ready to get back into it?
Yeah, definitely. I've been doing a fair bit of work in the off-season, mentally and physically, to recover.
Yep.
And now I feel great. I've got my mouth guard in, and I honestly have never even haven't thought about it out on the field. Yeah, haven't thought a single bit about it. Going as hard as I did last year and maybe even harder.
Yeah, well, that's great. And especially since, you know, with all the media and everything that surrounded it, it's awesome that you've put that work in. And as you say, mentally, that was so much a component of it. And it's wonderful that you're feeling so great to go back this season.
Yeah, thank you.
Have another crack, mate. And I've got to say, with so many, it's been such a big clean out in the club the last few years. Every year, you young guys, you're sort of clamouring for the lower jumpers. So you're jumper eight?
I'm jumper number eight.
But a few blokes have changed this year as well.
Yeah. A lot of blokes change their numbers every year. I remember... I think because I was drafted a little bit before Adam, I was supposed to get number five. But funny story, he played as number five as a junior. So it was a bit awkward. He messaged me and called me and said, oh, do you mind if I have number five and you can get number eight? So yeah, it's interesting like that. A lot of players like to move down. But yeah, I'm next to Fifey and Brad Hill. So it's pretty
good. That'll
do.
Yeah, well, good company.
Between jumper number two and a haircut, I had no idea who Griffin Logue was. What's going on there?
Yeah, no, I know. He liked to keep his hair long in the summer and then chop it off for the start of the season. So it's interesting, but I think it looks really good on him.
Oh, yeah. The commentating's going to be great. No one's going to know who is who, what they're wearing.
It's hard at the start of the year for the, yeah, the commentators. Hey, Andy Brayshaw, good to have you on board, mate, and good to have you part of the team in The Big Breakfast.
Thanks very much, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Three.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
You
woke up
this morning.
You want to come over and chill?
Grab the popcorn and join us for Kimber's Net Mix and Chill.
Now, Kimber's been watching the telly. Recommendations, or might have been on a device, of shows without a five-star rating.
Yeah, just in case you're sitting in front of the TV and you think, I don't even know where to start.
You've got the greatest job on the planet, haven't you?
It's not bad, is
pretty
it?
Pretty much do.
Oh, is that where you were yesterday? Watching shows?
Guys, I've got to go to work.
Just making a recommendation. I can't promise you'll love it, but I'll try to pick them from different genres and different places in case you want to have a go.
Yep.
Today I'm going to talk about the show Afterlife. It's written, directed and acted by Ricky Gervais. It's a 6-episode Netflix series about a guy called Tony, which is played by Gervais, who's just lost his wife to illness and is dealing with some pretty heavy grief.
Mm-hmm.
And ordinarily a nice guy, he's not finding much joy in life anymore.
If you're watching this, then I'm not around anymore. But don't spiral, don't obsess. Keep going. I thought I'd leave you a little guide to life without me. You're lovely, but you're absolutely f***ing useless.
You can't just go around being rude to people.
You can, though.
Your dog should be on a lead.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Thank you. What? He is not a fat, hairy, nosy c***. Sorry about that.
Disgusting.
Why don't you throw yourself into your work, okay? That's what depressed people do.
I've seen lonely people dying, people in pain. I don't think I've ever met anyone quite as sad as him.
I really enjoyed this series. It's great. Gervais plays a more serious role, and it's actually really refreshing to see him in it. But he's also got the same hilarious jabs inserted in all the dramatic and awkward moments that he does.
Mm.
But what I liked the most was that I thought this show had real heart.
Mm.
It has real heart behind it. It's really relatable, and it has the capacity, I think, to shift your views on gratitude.
Uh-huh.
So even though it's got the funny jabs and all of that in it, there's this really relatable kind of story underneath. And the show doesn't try too hard. It's a natural fit for Gervais. It's 30-minute episodes, and it also stars Ashley Jensen from Extras. So if you loved her in Extras, she kind of has a role in this as well.
Yep.
It's got an 8.6 recommendation on IMDb, and I just think it's a really lovely show to start off.
Yeah. Well, I think
six
he's terrific.
30 minutes.
I think everything he does has heart.
Also, they've basing his job being in a tiny little newspaper, like a community newspaper, there's so much scope for taking the mickey out of community newspapers and going, oh, is this a real job? You know, he's saying like that, which is, you know, we know it is.
Yeah.
The way he does that.
Well, Clancy, you watched it too. You've jumped on it. And most of the people that I've sort of said in the last week or so, oh, you should check this out, have all kind of watched it in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
It's really digestible. Six easy eps, 30 minutes. You just kind of smash through it. But check it out if you're interested. It's on Netflix and it's called Afterlife.
I tweeted after episode 6, right? I said on Twitter, I included Afterlife hashtag and Ricky Gervais. I said, congratulations and thank you for drawing tears of both kinds out of us, because we were a pool of tears during the 5th and 6th episode. Hilarious, profound, miserable, uplifting, what an achievement. And Ricky liked it within about 10 minutes. Oh, hey!
Nice!
Content, Ricky Gervais! He liked my comment, so that was good.
Nice
That's
one. It's
cool.
It's totally worth a watch if you want to check it out. And if it's, you know, it doesn't draw you in, you'll know by episode 1 or 2. But I think it's cool.
He's very brave. And, you know, we're at a time where it's very difficult to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Because you can offend people and whatnot very easily.
Oh, there'll be bits in this that'll offend people. Sure. And they'll go, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you did go there.
But he's fearless and you've got to give him that. You know?
Yep. Check it out. Afterlife on Netflix.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, Matt and I caught up with Kenny, or Ian Kenny. No one calls him Ian anymore, from Birds of Tokyo during the week.
Yeah.
He's a busy man. He's got two bands. He's got Carnival as well. And we're touring again soon. And we talked about the new single, Good Lord. Here's a taste of it for Birds of Tokyo. I've heard that Birds of Tokyo song, Good Lord, on Married at First Sight of late as well.
Yes, yes.
And so during the week, we caught up with Kenny from Birds of Tokyo. Welcome him to the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And we're here to talk about Good Lord, which is an extremely beautiful song, a heartbreaking song, I would suggest. I mean, I'm glad it's doing really well, because when I heard it, I just wanted to give you a hug and a cup of tea.
Oh, good on you. Yeah, it's a pretty raw song. And to be honest, I was super, super conscious about when writing the song about how much to let people in,
yep.
about how much to expose yep. of my world and my life and things that have been going on. And at one point, I actually put the song down. I kind of balked at it. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And thankfully, I've got some pretty good people around me and creative dudes and the guys in the band and sort of just helped me get through and get the song out and find the right language for it.
Mm.
It won't be easy, but it's going to be good for me to get this out so I can move on
sure.
yes.
and yep. get through
yep.
the hard times. And I'm grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. I should just point out it's about a breakup.
It's about
a difficult breakup.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, tough time, man.
Yeah. It's always the thing, I guess, with being an artist is that, you know, if you can take the pain and turn it into something positive, then it's worth it in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, Matt's acted for a long time, been in a lot of productions and a lot of TV and movies, right? So he has to find, in various scenes, he has to find the depth of, might be something miserable, and he's tapping into that. What about when you perform this song in the future?
It's going to kill me.
Yeah.
It's going to kill me, and I'm acutely aware of that. We've only played it a handful of times at different shows, but I know now for the foreseeable future, this will be part of the show, this will yeah. be part of the performance, and it's going to kill me for a while until I find a way to work with that or numb it out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It just comes out of you, and yeah. you really yeah. feel vulnerable. You're like, oh, man, I'm this close to coming undone here.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this in front of everyone. Okay, great.
Yeah. Well, I guess at some point, though, it does. It transforms from being yours and about you to giving it to us for us to take what we can from it, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's the wonderful thing about songwriting and about being able to share something like this. Through our career, we've had people come up at different points and say, hey, man, I just want to say that song. It really helped me through A, B, and C, and that yep. alone, like I'm truly grateful for that. It's a wonderful part of our community and where our music reaches. It's awesome.
You will find though that you'll be capable. And I look at an example. My brother did, and Matt was there. My mother's funeral last year. My brother plays. He plays gigs and he plays weddings and stuff like that. And he did Nick Cave's Into Your Arms at Mum's funeral. Mm.
Great song.
The first wedding that he played, the couple's bridal waltz was Into Your Arms. And they asked him to play it live. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't, but I'll play the song for you. And he did this incredible job of blanking out a full song. He said, it's so bloody hard to do. Blanked out a full song whilst he played it for them. Give me goosebumps talking about it. Yeah. And then he managed to do it. And he said, the only hard thing was I wasn't really listening to the song because I was took myself to another plane, you know, the place that I should have been listening to the end of the song so that I knew when to talk next.
Mm.
But he found that ability to do that. So.
Well, sometimes that's what you have to do
yeah.
in performance is find that alternate space so yeah. you can do what's got to be done.
Yeah. I keep stirring these guys up, Kenny, about not watching Married at First Sight, but apparently this song is booning because it's been played on the show, apparently.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually hit me a week ago and said, oh, hey, man, you need tracks on Married at First Sight. And I wasn't too aware of what the show, I mean, I kind of knew it was out there because it's
yeah.
massive.
It's yeah, everywhere.
Everyone's talking about it. Yeah.
Bloody
yeah.
huge. So, yeah. look, if I've been honest, I've watched a bunch since. Watched a bunch of episodes. I can see the appeal in the show. It's pretty addictive stuff.
Well, good luck with the song.
Thanks, man.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
One Perth person.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Mix 94.5's $2 million song with Watertown Brand Outlet Centre.
I wanna be a millionaire.
Time is starting to tick away and your chance at $2 million. Somebody in Perth has the chance to win it. And let's go to Hocking. Angela, it could be you. Can you believe this?
No, I can't. I've never, ever gotten through.
Well, you have now, Angela. Congratulations. You've made it onto the shortlist for a chance to win $2 million.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Angela, if you're stuck in traffic right now on the way to work, you know you could pay for a driver to take you. I mean, $2 million, if you just paid them an average, like, you know, 40 grand a year to take you to and from work, you don't have to drive ever again.
$2 million, I wouldn't be going back to work.
No, I'm with you.
Hey, Angela, while you're there sitting in traffic, Matt's got a song about the $2
million. This is what I'd spend it on, Angela. First I'd buy Clazy the Fremantle Dockers, yeah. be just like Hemsworth and score with a quokka, make sure that Kimber has always got cheese. With $2 million I could do what I please.
Oh, nice.
Thanks.
And a driver for Angela. What rhymes with driver?
But just to take her to the beach because she's never working again.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Angela. You are on that shortlist. You could be coming in here, joining us at the radio station with 100 songs to choose from. 99 of them are worth 10 grand. One of them is our $2 million song.
Okay.
Best of luck.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
And the footy is back, and it was back last night at the start of round one with the Tigers having a win. Last night, quite convincingly over Carlton.
It was convincing in the end, but that sort of second half of the second quarter and the third quarter was quite good fun to watch.
Yeah, the young Blues had a crack. They recruited pretty well for a team that were pretty rubbish last year. So. But we're going to come up with a few predictions for season 2019 because it's all starting this weekend, guys. What will happen?
Capricorn, make sure that you're watching the footy each
day. We try to do this to Dennis every year, don't we? We're like, come on, Den, first weekend, who do you think's going to win?
Well, he can't do it, so how am I going to be able to do it?
He's a shocker.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Okay, so we're going with predictions. Who do you think's going to win the premiership?
Oh, I'm going out on a limb and saying Melbourne.
Really?
Melbourne, okay.
You think they'll learn from last year,
yes,
the
I
young
do.
D's?
Yes.
Okay. I can't, I mean, it's very hard, especially seeing Rantz get injured last night.
Yeah.
You know, like, is how long is he going to be out for at Richmond? Because I was thinking Richmond.
Big
but
loss,
I'm thinking getting Beams and some of their other players back. I think Collingwood.
Collingwood.
For 2019 for the flag.
Okay. I'm going against, well, I don't know against, but you know, I got Jack, my mate Jack, from that we met at PMH a couple of years ago.
Yes.
He has helped me out with the footy tipping last year.
Yeah.
Did very well. He's going to help me again this year, but I'm going without his advice on this one.
What are you saying?
Because he's a mad eagle, right?
He's a mad eagle.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I think Adelaide are going to win the
Adelaide
premiership.
Froze.
Wow.
I reckon Adelaide.
You've got a beautiful aura.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Is it crows' colours?
Yeah.
Who do you
red,
think
yellow
is going to take out the Brownlow?
I reckon that our man, Andrew Gaff, if you think about it, last year he missed a lot of games, still got 16 votes and four best on grounds. And 2 years ago, he got like 21 or 22 votes. I reckon Gaffy is going to come back and, despite missing the first two rounds, win the Brownlow.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Hey, how good's that? Okay. We could say we helped him.
Yeah.
Because we're like that.
I had Dangerfield, but I'm changing it. I want it to be Gaffy as well.
Oh, I had Dangerfield too.
Did really?
Yeah.
Danger Mouse.
All right. Well, okay.
I've got one last prediction to make.
Yeah, okay.
That sometime this year, Channel 7 will break the world record for most commentators / pundits covering one single game. Because last night, I think there were about 74 people in suits covering the game.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Eddie was a little bit overexcited.
Well, I reckon Ross Lyon will be sacked by the end of the season.
Oh!
Timber!
Oh, gee, hey, Andrew Brayshaw's here. G'day, buddy.
Yeah,
g'day.
What are you
talking
about?
Hi, Ross. How are you, mate?
Hey, you can't say that about my footy club. What are you doing?
All the best with it, Ross.
Okay.
Have a good year.
This is what we spoke to Dennis Cometti about the other day.
I think there's a real upside in both the grand final teams more than any other club. So I'm suggesting they'll go back to the grand final, Collingwood and West Coast. I like the looks of both of them. But having said that, I look back to last year. They say, put them 1-16. That's what happens every year with the West.
Sure.
So I did that last year. Collingwood 12th, West Coast 13th.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, that's also going into the chamber.
The great man predicted the two grand finalists would be 13th and 12th
or something.
Respectively.
That is funny, isn't it?
Oh, well, we'll put these in the vault and see where they go.
Yeah, absolute rubbish.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
A bit earlier, it was about the woman who had the cancer diagnosis and they tried to make a new tongue for this poor woman out of some muscle from a leg and it didn't work.
It didn't work initially, but then they went and used the arm.
Incredible.
And they created a brand new tongue for her.
She said she has no trouble talking, eating, nothing. It's all working perfect. We want to know when your this became your that. Annie's in Canning Vale. Annie, what became what?
Hello there. My friend at college was born with extra digits on her hands and feet.
Yes.
Right.
And because her thumbs hadn't been developed properly, they actually used her toes.
Oh, they took one of the extra toes and put it into a thumb.
Her two toes became her two thumbs.
Oh, spare toes. That's very cool.
Isn't that amazing?
And at the time we were studying and we had to handwrite everything.
Yes.
Her thumbs were amazing. She could hold pens. They were so long, though, with quite big joints.
Yes.
But we were always so jealous because she could hold a pen for hours and never got cramped.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
I bet she was a bit of a novelty as well. In a good way.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Amazing, really.
Wow.
And I guess you have to use, you know, when you vote, you use your toe print.
We never asked her about her
fingerprint.
No. Nice one, Annie. Let's go to Belga. G'day, Tessa. This became that. What happened for you?
My bottom became my boob.
Oh, really, Tessa?
You've got butts for boobs.
Yes, I had to have my boobs removed because of a history of cancer in the family and for other medical reasons.
Sure. Yes.
And they decided to reconstruct them using muscle and fatty tissue from my bottom.
And what a great dinner party story.
Yes, my husband does like to make a joke out of it.
Tessa, did you put the suggestion in when they said, look, we need to reconstruct some boobs for you? Did you say, I know the perfect place to take it from?
No, I didn't know they were going to do it at all. I went into surgery thinking I was having them removed completely.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
And were you happy with the result? Was it an amazing job?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. They look better and they stand up better than they did back then.
Hey, Teresa, being completely respectful, of course, but do you ever say, does my butt look big in these?
My husband says that. That's one of his lines.
Well, yeah. we're damn glad you're around and you're with us and you can make the call this morning.
And it's great. It's always good when your butt's not trying to kill you too. Yeah. So, good news.
Wonderful result,
thanks,
Tessa. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clairsy, Matt and Kimber.
We're doing it this morning with help from our friends from Dale Alcock.
Yes, if you're building, renovating or developing, you're in safe hands with Dale Alcock.
You could check out their Advantage series too. It's from under 200k and they throw in 20k worth of bonus inclusions.
Yeah, dalealcock.com.au.
The Big Breakfast with Clairsy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, there's a bit of trouble brewing in our northwest, let's be honest.
A big cyclone.
A massive cyclone. Cyclone Trevor on the other side of the country, but up around Karratha, heading for the coast. Cyclone Veronica. We're talking about wind gusts of something like 230 kilometres an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's the forecast, and that's real dangerous kind of territory from 7 News in Karratha. Emily Baker, good morning, Em.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
We're good. Emily, what's the latest update? What's happening in Karratha?
Well, it's getting pretty windy here, and by tonight we should start to see wind gusts of up to 100 kilometres an hour, and that's as that formidable force, which is Cyclone Veronica, tracks closer to the Pilbara coast. We've already seen locals sort of starting to prepare for the worst and emergency services. Locals have been down to the shopping centres, basically stripping the shelves bare of whatever they can get their hands on, food and water. We've seen them filling up sandbags to put around their homes, because when Veronica hits, likely on the weekend, she's going to bring with her wind gusts of up to 260 kilometres an hour, which is enough to rip roofs off homes and uproot trees. And we're also expecting to see a year's worth of rain in just a day. So there is also a major risk of flooding.
Emily, are we any closer to knowing approximately where it's going to make landfall?
It's kind of anyone's guess at this stage. The new information from the Weather Bureau this morning suggests that Veronica will hit between Karratha and Port Hedland, but it is sort of tracking closer to Karratha, and Wim Creek is in the direct line of fire. And we're told by locals the only real thing in Wim Creek is an old pub.
Mm. Ah, right. Yeah, well,
great old pub.
Hopefully it's been built well. Yeah, you've been there, Paulie?
Yes, great spot.
Yeah. Hey, Emily, so many things that you report in the news on Seven is, you know, when in your day-to-day working life is concrete and you know what's coming and that, but something like this, when you're relying on the weather, things could change, couldn't they, very quickly?
Yeah, things could change very quickly. And with this cyclone, we're being told that it's actually moving quite slowly, and right. But it is intensifying rapidly and growing. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a waiting game now for us and the people here to see what's going to happen as it sort of moves closer in the next couple of days.
Okay. Mm,
those kind of winds too, though, like Cyclone Albie in 1978, they reckon that was the most widespread cyclone damage.
Pretty destructive,
and,
yeah.
And that was winds of 200 kilometres an hour, so we're in that same bracket. So.
And Emily, the feeling up there, I know that people up there are used to cyclones, and there are images of the shelves being empty apart from, I think I saw one bottle of Handy Andy, but are they feeling quite calm, or is there a tangible sense of panic?
The feeling here is quite calm at the moment, but this is one of the most cyclone-prone places on Earth. Mm. So the locals here have been through this before. Of course, the last one was in 2013 when Cyclone Christine hit, relatively in the same place with the same kind of wind gust.
Yep.
So, I don't think people are being complacent, and that's the message here. Mm. Don't be complacent. tie things down around your home, get your sandbags ready, make sure you've got your supplies, just in case when it does hit, you know, it does devastate the area.
Okay, yeah, noticed you're popping up about plenty of times on the telly last night on 7. Emily, plenty of reports to file. Stay safe as well.
Thank you very much.
Emily.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The Juice.
Let's hear it.
Give me the details.
She's back.
If you are one of those people who is still Instagramming your food before you even touch the plate, Nigella Lawson wants to help. No, she doesn't.
This spaghetti, that sauce, they are made for one another and for me.
Apparently, the average camera can't do your meal justice, so now you can use this Nigella Lawson app, Foodim.
What?
Foodim. It's got a built-in filter to optimize food and to throw in that nice blurry shot at the background of the picture.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So it makes it look straight out of a cookbook.
Yeah.
And it's available on iOS only in the UK, Australia and New Zealand. And it's free because we want to give back to the people. So you can get the Nigella look from your plate.
There you go.
All the important things that people need.
Sure.
Now, guys, Emilia Clarke in Game of Thrones, she plays Khaleesi.
I see the faces of slaves. I free you. But if you stay, it will be as brothers and sisters.
And that's Amelia, one of Scott Morrison's speeches, isn't it?
Amelia has now revealed that actually she suffered from two brain aneurysms during the filming of season one from Game of Thrones.
What?
Pretty violent show.
She said she was training at the gym and this huge headache came over her and she went to the bathroom and felt really sick and someone had to put her into a recovery position.
Yeah.
They ended up taking her to hospital and she was very lucky to be diagnosed immediately and she was forced to have brain surgery straight away.
Wow.
And she said it was terrifying. She was 24 years old off the back of an incredibly successful season one of Game of Thrones, and she thought, I don't even, you know, was so full on and overwhelmed by the whole role in the first place. And she's never told her story until now that she suffered the two aneurysms and had brain surgery, and she's just done an interview with The New Yorker and come out and said, this is what I was going through in 2011.
Right.
So pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, that is amazing. And 24.
Yeah. Mm. And in one of the most awkward announcements since the last one, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter have confirmed that Bill and Ted 3 will begin production this US summer. Now, this follows up Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which was released in 1989 and followed up with their bogus journey in 1991.
Excellent!
I don't know if you guys were very across this movie.
Oh, the first one I loved.
Yeah. I was a Wayne's World fan, so I think they ripped these guys off, didn't they? Because they used to say, totally excellent.
Yeah, it was like, you know, a bit of a cult film at the time.
Stoner
it was super
kind
stupid.
Of comedy, yeah.
Well, now the much older actors are reprising their roles, but they tried to do an announcement video, but they don't sound very convinced about it themselves.
Hi, I'm Alex Winter.
And I'm Keanu Reeves. And together, we are
Wild Stallions.
We want to say thank you to you, the fans.
We do.
Because it looks like we might...
Actually...
Hopefully...
Make a movie this summer.
Bill and Ted 3.
Face the Music.
It's all about funding, getting the funding, isn't it, with movies?
Yes. Yeah.
That's certain about it.
They were like, together we are Wild Stallions. So look forward to that. Right. That's your daily juice.
Very nice. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Okay, guys, this is a story, a subject very close to our hearts.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Oh, not close enough.
Sleep. Sleep.
Am I dozing off?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry.
It's about sleep, which we all love. It's also about middle class privilege and having way too much money.
Oh, really?
Possibly. Right. It's these sleep pods that I know have been around in Japan for a long time.
Yeah.
But they now have a nap bar. Oh. Not nap bar from Sunrise.
Not nap bar, yeah.
A nap bar.
A place to go and do a nana nap.
Go and have a nana nap in Houston, which I've been to Houston. It's a very busy city. It's not a lot of beauty in Houston.
Okay.
Nice people, but not a lot of natural beauty. And it's a, you know, concrete jungle.
So
didn't you tell me you met a beauty in Houston?
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah, as I said, beautiful people. For $25,
yeah,
you get 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
To sleep in a pod?
To sleep in a pod with an organic mattress.
You're studying,
and
Where are these pods? Just in a building on the side of the street?
Yeah, it's like a mat bar. You go in and you can get yourself an IV to rehydrate. You can get a lymphatic massage.
That's not long enough.
No, that's what I was thinking.
Especially for that kind of money.
Enough. Well, I mean, when you think to yourself, when you want to commit to a nana nap and you lay yourself down on the couch, it takes you like 15 to 20 minutes to fall asleep. Like it takes a long time to like nestle in and...
You're starting to see them more at airports and that. They're starting to sort of create that thing. Because we're also, let's be honest, even if we're not sleep deprived, we think we're sleep deprived at this point in time. But I'm worried about someone like Kimber Kale here going along. Well, would you be happy to go into where someone else has just had a sleep and a dribble?
No, I mean, you've got to take your own little silk sleeping bag.
Yeah.
They claim that they change everything and these mattresses won't, hold on to bacteria.
Yeah, but the sleazy motel down the road, when you head down south, they tell you they do that too. Yeah, and they don't even empty the bin.
But they don't do that.
No,
and that bloody mattress cover.
Yeah.
By the time I've laid down and thought, I need a wee.
Yeah.
Got to get up and have a wee.
Yeah.
And I have to rub my feet together off the edge of the mattress before I get into bed because I don't like to bring any crumbs or dirt into the bed.
That's a problem. You need a wee bar.
And there's your 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not long enough at all.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Not for me.
I like them in airports. They seem like a good idea.
The idea of an airport,
if you got 4 hours, layover.
In between.
Then brilliant.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So, $25 for 20 minutes seems a bit steep.
It does to me too.
Cheaper to go to a solarium.
Yeah.
Have a lay down in there.
Yeah, or a park bench.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Dale Alcock. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.